Welcome to Whole Lot of Wolves, episode 34 of season 4. We're your hosts. I'm Joshua Buckley.
I'm Paul LePage.
And we are live in Nashville for FanFest, as is Mr. Danny Paletti from Baltimore. Danny, how's it going?
Going pretty good, all things considered.
It was going really well, Paul, until it wasn't. And then I didn't think that we would be traveling all this way to Nashville, Tennessee. Just get screwed. But here we are!
That's right, like night follows day. It's been too long for a controversial VAR decision, and it just seemed like at every moment today they were trying to give one, and lo and behold, it came to stoppage time where balance of play, you know, I don't mind losing those types of games when the state of the play dictates it and the chances, and fair play to them, they turned it around in the second half and they were better team, but to have that type of decision and to be unprecedented, again, when's an official ever gone over to the screen to review VAR calls? So, you know, there we go.
And it was a weird angle anyways, it was like from the side and it wasn't even video, it was just like a picture. So I don't know how you reverse that decision. I don't think that's a clear and obvious error. And I'd be very curious if the situation was reversed and West Ham had scored on that, whether or not that even goes to VAR.
Yeah.
Not even, none of the West Ham players were calling for that.
That's right. Yeah. It was, again, unprecedented. We've never seen it before. You can analyze it by 100 different angles, and still, like, why?
Well, we're at Acme Feed and Seed, which is right across from where the Nashville Fan Fest is. And we had a really good showing of Wolves fans, right, Danny?
Pretty good, actually. Even for the early game, a lot of us showed up around 5:30 to get in. And I'd say there were around 20 there then, give or take. But then they really started filtering in, you know, after that first game finished. And we probably ended up with, I don't know, what'd you say, at least a couple dozen, maybe closer to 40, 50.
Yeah, I'd say probably 35-ish people.
Yeah.
And we were loud. We were doing well. We were getting on NBC. And I know Todd from Minnesota, boy, he was running around like crazy on that tying goal. Unfortunately, it blows my mind. And Paul, it was a game of two halves, wasn't it?
Unbelievably. Like, when that team lineup came out, you looked at it and thought, what are they going to put out there in terms of formation? But give O'Neill his due, he really set that team up to perform in a way that could stifle West Ham, and as they proved, started to show some attacking intent themselves, which without having a striker on the pitch, even questionable forwards in terms of Sarabia as the attacking midfielder, he's not necessarily a forward even with his pace, and then having Agnew, who's your wing back, is the only genuine attacker out there. It was like, how are they going to do something? But they did. They constructed stuff, and first half, I thought, pretty much excellently constructed in terms of formation and tactics, and it showed, and we went in the half with a much better team.
And there were a couple chances in the first half. I know Sarabia had one, Nate Nuri had a shot, but Nate Nuri was the one who drew the penalty, and I was a little worried they were going to pull that one back with VAR. In fact, all the goals had VAR involved, with the exception of that Ward-Prowse free kick.
That's right. It's a case of some weeks it seems to get looked over, and then other weeks it's like we have to analyse every single one. And no matter what, you just expecting the worst, and it's because it's Wolves and it happens, and it felt like that again today.
So dominant first half, Danny, and then Cunha was already coming on, but Aiden Uri was the one that came off. I kind of think he was maybe already going to come off just because of he looked gassed there in the second half. And rightfully so, he's playing a position he hasn't. What do you think by looking at it? You think that's going to be a serious knock?
I'm not sure. I didn't see what precipitated it.
But I also saw some shouts, you know, on social media, people pointing out, well, one, first of all, obviously just the minutes players have had this week, not just him, but also Lamina and Sarabi, who came off earlier. And also there's the possibility, I think almost certainly, that Aitnori is fasting during Ramadan. So,
oh, yeah, that's a great point.
And that could be another reason why they felt like taking him off early was a good choice. I mean, it, in a lot of ways it makes sense because you're really swapping a forward for a forward. But, you know, in terms of the game, it would have been nice to keep what Ryan Aitnori was doing in addition to Cunha, but that's what we had.
Paul, it kind of seemed like they were just a little disjointed in their passing and their formation once he went out.
The second half it did. It was like night and day. Like the first half was working some beautiful triangles and that movement was really coming off, and second half it just wasn't. And I think there's an element within there of if Cunha's your link-up man, he's going to drop deep and craft those plays. He's going to be a little rusty still, and that was showing, so he needs that gradual accumulation of minutes to get back up to the standards that he was showing before then. So any type of change like that, especially when you've got such a you've just got such a small squad, it's going to impact it.
So Max Kilman, a little bit in the news this week with Manchester United rumors, and he goes out and gives up the penalty. What do you think he was thinking there? I mean, as a defender, you have to know you can't have your arm out that far, Danny.
Yeah, I suppose. I still get frustrated at those. It's the right call, the way that they've been calling handballs the last few years, but he's already turning away from it. That, I mean, even the comm said, like, oh, he's made his body unnaturally bigger. But when you're side to it and your arm is behind you, how much? I don't know. It's still frustrating regardless. It's another one where it feels like people on social media are also going to pick out that he doesn't really protest it, whereas, like, a lot of players would. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. All around, the goals that they scored were very frustrating, and this one maybe especially so, because there's not really a ton that he's going to be able to do about it. I feel for him. It was a decent overall performance, but that was a frustrating one to give away.
All on the second goal with Ward-Prowse. On the second goal with Ward-Prowse, what do you think could have been done to stop that?
I don't know. It's some type of positioning, but you're not necessarily anticipating it because it often doesn't happen so much. Even putting men on the post is like a thing of the past, really, because it happens so infrequently that you never think to plan for it. But there could be a chance that if they were making such a big deal of the swirling wind and everything, he spotted his chance to, like, put one in there and test it, and it worked, unfortunately.
Yeah, we just bad luck with him. And we have our first of, I'm sure, many special guests, Todd DeWitt from Minnesota. How's it going, Todd?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I think you had the best celebration today when Kilman scored the tying goal, and then we just got hosed on it. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
That was fucking bullshit.
Put an E on it, Alex.
Yeah, you're going to... Oh, I don't, like... I don't even know where to start with this. First of all, I think I sprained my hamstring when I ran over and celebrated in front of the West Ham fans.
You did. It was all in front of them.
It was great. I just kind of blacked out and was like... I ran over, I walked back, and I was like, I really hope this doesn't go to a VAR call for some reason. And sure enough, it did, which was great. The VAR call was such horseshit. I'm sure y'all have already talked about it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how an offside can be subjective when offside should be objective. And I thought, like, VAR was for clear and obvious errors and was to be definitive. I don't understand how it can go to the opinion of a ref, and I just don't get it.
Hey, this is from Gary O'Neill on the disallowed goal. It's a terrible, terrible decision. I can't understand it at all. Crazy that a Premier League ref can stand in front of a screen, having been sent to it, and get it so badly wrong. Kabinski is getting nowhere near that header. And that's the big part there is he was not getting near that header, even if he had a clear view.
Nowhere near. Like, he doesn't move. Like, the replays they show, he is on his line. He's got full view of that ball. Like, he's not being pushed. He's not being touched. Nothing.
Here's another thing from the Gary O'Neill press conference. He spoke to both David Moyes and Fabinski, and they agreed it was a bad decision. When the goalkeeper for the other team says it was a bad decision, that's Todd's processing that now.
I feel justified in my celebrations.
Yeah.
No regrets.
No regrets. No regrets. Hey, we've had a good time out here. What was your favorite part so far of FanFest?
You know, just seeing everyone and putting a name to a, like, or a face to a name on Twitter. Like, I know all these people on Twitter. But just to, like, shake hands, say hey, and, like, really connect with them instead of just, like, sharing messages. That's been probably the best part.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Giving everybody hugs, everything. Drinking. It's one big family. Drinking, yeah.
Yeah, one big family. It's great.
Yep. And another, hey, we have a newbie here, Paul, but you recognize him on Twitter all the time. It is Kirk from Atlanta. Now, what is your Twitter handle? Because I always get it wrong.
Yeah, so I hate to connect my name to my Twitter handle because I feel like that's a bad thing for both my job and my future job. But my Twitter handle is Original Bimp. But my name is Kirk. But it has been an incredible experience. Gave to meet so many people you know from Twitter in real life. Correct. For those people who call it.
Yeah, it's been exciting to get to meet all you guys. And Paul, apparently we have fans out there. I would have never guessed it.
That's right. It reminds me of, like, going to a family wedding of these cousins that you never see for, like, years. And then you all come together and it's like you're bonding over that commonality again. So.
Well, talk a little bit about the decision there at the end. Gary O'Neill's calling it bullcrap. Even David Moyes and the opposing keeper said it was a bad decision.
Yeah, so I think it's an incredibly challenging call to make, not challenging against Wolves because we've seen it time and time again. But it's one of those things where I feel like if you watch the replay and you saw that it was a situation where maybe there was contact, maybe the keeper had to move out of the way to get a view, but neither of those things occurred. So from my perspective, it's another VAR decision against Wolves, but one that is not surprising as a result.
Kurt, how'd you become a Wolves fan?
So big fan of Portuguese soccer, and that translated well in the past to supporting Wolves. Now it's probably a bit more of a Brazilian pipeline, but still has the Portuguese roots when I started supporting.
And you've been back for a good few games to go and watch at Molineux, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw us draw with Chelsea. I saw us get obliterated by Man City. Incredible.
Was that the De Bruyne game?
I think it was like 3-4, maybe 5-0. But nevertheless, incredible atmosphere. Always a great time at all the pubs in Wolves. So one I would recommend for everyone. And it's one where it's easy to get up from London up to Wolverhampton.
That's great. And you're a Hawks fan, too. I mean, you're glutton for punishment here.
Between Atlanta Sports, the Illini, and Wolves, I suffer quite a bit in my life.
That's what I tell people. We're Wolves fans, we're masochists, aren't we? Yep. Well, Kurt, we really appreciate you having it. It's been great to meet you.
Yeah, you guys as well. Really appreciate it, and hope to connect again soon.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I feel like it's just one big family of Wolves fans.
It's amazing what suffering will do to bring people together.
That's right. And I will say, you know, anybody that's making fun of us for doing the dance on Twitter, the Let's Go Have a Disco Dance call, fuck them.
That's right. It just goes to just summarise what this is all about. It's getting together, and it's going old school as well. So I think we should reclaim Let's All Have a Disco as like our country dance from this point forward. So
you brought up Let's Go Have a Hoedown. We could have done that too.
Yeah.
All right, we got a new guest.
How's it going? Doing good. New to podcasting, you tell me what to do.
Yeah. Well, hey, just introduce yourself. How'd you become a Wolves fan?
Sure. I'm Ryan from Cincinnati, Ohio. I think I'm the only Wolves fan in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
So, it's a funny story. During COVID, I wanted to get into Premier League, and I didn't know who to root for. So my friends who are actually Liverpool fans, they're nice people. They're nice people, I swear. And so I was like, I don't know who to root for. I don't want to root for, like, the big dogs, but I also don't want to root for, like, a Burnley or a, you know, Norwich, where I'm, like, constantly in relegation. So we did a random number generator on Google, and the number came up 6, and at the time, Wolves were 6 on the table. So that's how it's done.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Exactly. Do you wish it had fallen on another number, or are you glad with the decision?
I like Wolverhampton. It's, I don't know, as I watch more and more Premier League, I become more understanding, like, how it is related to baseball and basketball, where, like, you have the super teams or you have all this sort of stuff, and then you have the rest of the pack. So, but no, it's good. I like it. I mean, we're competitive. Obviously, I'm still trying to understand the whole, like, FFP stuff and how that works, because Man City's changing the whole rules now because they know they'll be, like, relegated to the National League.
Yeah.
They'll be down with Wrexham. You know, but yeah. But yeah, no.
Who's your favorite player?
Oh, God. I mean, when we first started watching, I was also watching Game of Thrones. So Pedro Neto, I always called him Robb Stark.
He looks like Robb Stark.
So I always called him that. He was always fun to watch, but I know he's probably going to be gone this summer.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be interesting because of the hamstring injury popping up again.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I don't know. Like, I could see a big club buying him, but also I don't want to sell him off for cheaper than what he's worth because of the injuries. So,
now, did you get a chance to see Yerson Mosquera when he was playing in FC Cincinnati?
Yes, we loved Mosquera. I was hoping he would come back. I mean, he'll eventually come back to Wolves, but he's out on loan now. But, yeah, we loved Mosquera in Cincinnati.
So do you feel like he's somebody that Wolves are going to be able to count on in the future back there?
Maybe with some a year or two. I think he has a little more growing up to do. But, yeah, I for sure think, and I hope if he makes that step, then it becomes more of like we can kind of sell Kilman in order to make that money to then buy other talent as well.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's buying Kilman after today.
I mean, he got a good header. That handball was caused by Tati not being able to clear the ball. That second half, it was a tale of two halves.
Yeah, it
as
really
you probably
was.
Maybe talked about earlier.
Yep. Yeah, so it really was. It was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy. What's been your favorite part of FanFest?
Oh, God. I got here early, seeing all the stuff, like all them signing stuff up on the stage, interacting. It's just been fun. I did not expect any of this. So this is my first time. So.
Yeah, it's been a good Wolves turnout. And special shout-out to Andrew Smith's wife, Trish. She made a whole bunch of signs and pins.
The signs were awesome.
The signs were great, including the Rebecca Lowe Show Wolves Some Love sign.
Yep. She was doing great. So.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we have a whole lot of Wolves favorite right here. Mr. Wolfman, Jeff.
It feels strange being here without Andrew. I got to let you know right now.
Yeah, well, Andrew's
over
there.
I feel incomplete, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay.
It's your time to shine.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm sure he'll have his rant.
Oh, I was standing beside him when that goal was, well, up for all the goals, good and bad.
Yeah.
It was about what I expected with
Well,
with
the
Andrew.
First half, I got to watch more of the first half because we had to move around at the second. First half, you know, I still think Gary does the best with the pieces he has.
Absolutely.
But I do think that West Ham deliberately was going to wear us down. They're so compact, and we didn't really have the talent to go ahead and finish anything up in the middle, and West Ham was expecting that, and they just closed us down in the middle. So without having an active winger, that made it troublesome, and there's only so much Ryan Antonio can do for us.
And then Boubacar Traore lost his mind for a little bit and thought he was Ruben Neves trying to hit bangers outside the box.
Well, there was a few shots that were outside, way outside, that I was kind of thinking, you know, that's not going to go in. Why are we trying? I mean, you know, I kind of follow the Charles Barkley method. You know, if you push up middle in the box, even if you don't get the goal, you might draw a foul.
Absolutely.
And you might get a penalty, but you're not if you're way out there at a shot that's very unlikely to go in and it's not prepped. So there was a few shots like that. I was disappointed that we didn't really push for them. But I didn't get all the subs. Obviously, Ryan Antonio had to come off, but at least he was replaced with Cunha, you know, who we could trust. But you pulled out a lot of our players who were making the impact. And I know that Gary's already dealing with such a hurt side. You know, we're held together by duct tape and birthday wishes right now.
I'm using that one, Paul. Duct tape and birthday wishes. I love it.
So I guess why he's being cautious. But if we were up 2-0, then those subs may have made a little more sense to me.
I agree.
But at the end, and I will show this as an example of our fight, is we almost did. Well, we actually did tie it back up if it wasn't for the VAR. Yeah, it was very frustrating, especially how well we controlled it the first half. We just ran out of steam.
Yeah, it's a fun team. We were talking about that yesterday. It's a fun team to root for this year, and hopefully we don't lose too many of these guys during the summer. Paul, as each game goes by, I think Aiton Ury is going to be bought up by somebody.
I think so. It's got to the point that he's showing something now in every one of these games, and just the exposure and that clamour for talent is really put him in the shop window, where if you'd have thought this time last season, would you have been thinking about that?
Lopetegui would have thought that
Either. Last season, we would have ducked our heads down in defeat.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Even if we're not playing well, we still fight.
Yeah.
And we still fight with dignity. We may not do what we want, but we don't give up. And that, I can't say that for the previous two managers.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. And really, it shows just the courage of the young players on the team. So, Jeff, what's been your favorite part of FanFest?
Honestly, it is meeting the other Wolves fans. A lot of us, we've interacted with each other, but I've not had a chance to meet you guys face to face. And that to me has been my favorite part. Because, you know, yeah, occasionally we get a chance to go down to Atlanta and watch, you know, matches together, but it's rare. But never do you go to a place where we're the dominant force.
That's right.
And so there was we were a pack of wolves last night. I think we did this march down through the streets. Wasn't sure I was really going to participate. And I ended up somehow in the front.
You did.
And after a while, I thought you'd have to go and give me some oxygen. So we were...
It was a lot longer walk than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the energy was there, but then the energy was gone about two-thirds of the way. But that was fun. The other thing is, you got to see Rebecca Lowe, which is, you know, for reasons. You know, that's always exciting. But it's I didn't get a chance to meet Tim Howard. I do want to meet Tim Howard. One thing I like about him, not just what he's done for U.S. soccer, but what he does for his local community, what he does in... with the Memphis team, and you know, he doesn't just talk about it, he's investing into building up this beautiful game here in the U.S. And so I got a lot of respect for that, and plus he's done a lot for the U.S. team for the years.
Yeah, when I saw Wolfman Jeff at Acme Feed and Seed yesterday, first time. It was like, you know, one of those slow motion, like running with the plow, you're running in the flowers for the big hug.
With the wind in our hair. Yeah just kind of that there.
Yep.
So yeah, I want everyone to have that thought in your head, stuck there. It was a beautiful bro moment.
Two big guys running at each other for a big hug.
I had Danny meet me at the gate of the airport, and it was very romantic.
It was sweet.
Things like that doesn't happen anymore. So yeah. Just to experience that over this love of this great club, I'm going to embrace it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because like a lot of rom-coms ends up at the airport. So that's so sweet. This is so beautiful, man.
We have got plenty of options of romance with options to buy from this weekend.
Yes,
definitely.
I agree.
Well, if we would have won, I think the bromance would have been even higher. But you know, now we're just sharing our tears with each other.
Yeah.
I got to meet Dave Cope from New York Wolves. Some people that I've interacted with on Dave's channel, or the people I've heard on your channel, or just interacted with online, get to see him face to face. And then plus all these people that I had no idea who they were, which just reminds us how big Wolves supporters are in the U.S.
Yeah.
So if you're out there alone, hey, we're part of a bigger group and we're continuing to grow.
And I think what's really cool is the expats that are here, like Paul, like David, like Andy Overton, like Andrew Smith.
Yeah.
Like, they get a kick. They've really taught us a lot about the club, and that's what I think is really cool. So how America and the UK guys have really blended together.
So I think now, looking amongst here is a snapshot of who's attending.
Yeah.
It's probably 65-35 in terms of natives versus expats now, which is phenomenal. So keep that growth up.
My only complaint is I was hoping that Paul was going to bring some of that Sledgley water that he talked about before. And so here I am, a little parched. There's no Sledgley water, so. Or Sedgley. Sledgley. Sedgley.
Sedgley.
So.
Well, Jeff, man, it's been great to see you.
It's really good seeing you guys face to face.
Been great hanging out with everybody. Your wife's a gem.
Yes.
I don't know how you lucked out with it.
And, I was thinking the same for you.
My wife was, she was definitely being heard at FanFest this morning.
We're not only batting out of our league, we're batting out of our sport.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned Mr. David Copey, and here he is. Thanks, Wolf fan.
I'll see you guys.
David Copey, one of the OGs for helping bring Wolverhampton and making it U.S. fans. This has been fun this week. Even remove the outcome of the game, we've had a good time.
Other than the last 30 seconds of the match, yeah.
Jesus. Last night we had a conversation and it was like, we haven't seen a VAR issue in a few years.
We've known that was coming, right? I mean, it was Fulham the last one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the Fulham where I deleted my Premier League account in disgust and boycotted the next match against Arsenal. Never done that in my life, yeah. Wow. So you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And apparently, I think Danny just showed me a tweet that O'Neill spoke to Moyes and Flabianski, and they both agreed it was a bad decision. So here we go again.
When the keeper is saying that and the foul is on the keeper getting blocked, it's just unreal.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. How'd you feel about the game before then, especially the first half?
Well, the first half I thought was really good. I mean, we didn't look massively dangerous, but, we're missing a lot of attackers, so I think that's understandable. But we dominated it. I mean, I think West Ham let us have the ball a lot, and we took advantage. I think we were playing well, moving it around well, and you know, when we got the penalty, we deserved to be ahead. And, you could see, okay, well, you always know you need a second. But we felt pretty good after the first half. And then the second half, I think we may have been sort of sitting in a bit, just like we knew West Ham were going to come at us. They brought Antonio on.
Yeah, when they brought Antonio, I think that changed a lot of things.
Yeah, so I think the flow changed at the beginning of the second half. But then after a few minutes, Aitnouri goes off. And that just scuppered, I think, our plan, and then we just looked pretty anonymous for all of them, the rest of the match, and you could see an equalizer and a winner coming, and sure enough, that happened. I think, on the balance of the match, did West Ham deserve to win? Maybe a little bit. I think a draw would have been fair.
I think so.
That decision at the end was just appalling.
Now, Jackie Oatley on the broadcast was really talking a lot about the wind at Molyneux. You've been there plenty of times. How big of an effect is that?
I don't really ever remember it being that windy. But, you know, if you're in the stand, you're a little bit shielded from it. So on the pitch, obviously, it's very different. But, you know, Wolverhampton's pretty high up, so it can be cold and a bit blustery at times. So.
Dave, we're going to bring these in from the folk who are at the bar. You got a no stupid question to ask live and in person?
I don't think we're going to make it to Europe now, but
yeah. If
we did, with the small size of our squad, do we, and knowing that we probably have to sell to buy more players, do we sell more top players to get the funds to grow the squad to survive Europe, or do we hold on to more better players and deal with a small squad in Europe and all of the possible complications that would drive?
That's a really good question.
I think it's looking at that that season when we first made it and we signed the likes of Neto, and even though it didn't come out, it didn't come through, Jordão, at the time they felt distinctly like those squad fillers that we needed, and Cotroni was that alternate striker. So if we somehow manage to scrape it in now, I'm in agreement with you. I think today's probably been the nail in the coffin that we won't. I'd have probably seen them maybe, if we've got that one big sale, we probably needed two to sustain that squad for that competition.
Yeah, especially I think Neto would be the key. They would have to sell Neto, I think, to have any kind of funds for that. And really, I mean, Champions League obviously makes a ton of extra money, but how much would that third level make? I don't know.
We're probably, only the Conference League is probably in within our possible grasp now, so that's not going to be a ton of money. So I'm not saying I want us to get to Europe. I mean, I do think you have to take the chance when right. You have it, because, you know, getting into Europe is not an elective decision, right? You've got to perform over the course of a season. So I think if we have a chance, you've got to go for it.
It was like, you know, I was in Alabama and I bought a Final Four shirt because I said, I don't know if this is ever going to happen. Same with Europe. I mean, I made sure and bought a Wolves Europa shirt because
I'm going to lose to UConn anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was like, well, I got to get it now.
So, yeah, I think, you know, Neto is obviously the one that we all think would go for big money, but the problem is now that he's been injured, he might not play again, and he does have a bit of an injury history, and that's going to deflate his price a bit. So he might not get, you know, when he was in his prime, if he'd stayed fit and kept playing like that, I think 80 million was probably realistic. But now, can we realistically get that? And if we can't get that, and we need more funds to rebuild the squad, then that's another player you've got to sell. And then all of a sudden, take in two or three top players out of the squad, that's going to be really tough to then rebuild from that. So it's a tough one.
I think it's going to be Aitnery now. And remember, we have a 50% sell-on fee for him. However, we can buy that out for £10 million. So you have to factor in whatever the price is going to be, lose $10 million. But he's starting to show. I could see us a big club offering $40 million, Paul.
Well, maybe if Forest go down, they sell Gibbs White, and we get, what, 15% of that?
It could all balance itself out in this age of FFP and everything.
Exactly.
David, thanks for coming on. We've really enjoyed it. What's been your favorite part?
Everybody here. I mean, I think this is the biggest gathering of Wolves fans in North America so far. You know, we've had a few. The Philly Fan Fest, we had, I think, 30. We've had a couple of events in New York at the Fosun Building that we had about 30, 35. But I think there's more here. So let's keep it going for the next Fan Fest.
That's right. That's right. Let's all have a disco.
Let's all have a disco indeed.
Todd from Minnesota's come back. He's probably got a no stupid question for us.
I certainly do. I have refilled my beer. I have a new no stupid question. So, we're in Nashville.
Yes.
Two of you are from Texas. Yes. Let's talk rodeo.
Okay.
Which Wolves player, current or former, do you think would be the best bull rider?
Oh, that's easy.
And which one of the podcast hosts do you think would be the best rodeo clown?
Okay, so the best bull rider, I think, would be Lamina. I think he'd be a... Joao Gomez would be good, but I think he's a little shorter. I think he's a little too short for bull riding. But I think Lamina would be the guy on that.
I'm trying to think, like, what's the best profile of a bull rider? Has it got to be short but really powerful legs, or they need to be taller and hang on? So I think when you do look at Lamina and those calves and thighs, I think he could get that really good grip of the bull.
As for the rodeo clown, I'm going to say Paul.
I would disqualify Paul because he's really tall and there's no way he's fitting in one of those barrels.
Okay, that's true.
I think it's going to be Danny.
I could see Danny doing it. With Danny, have you ever painted your face for a game, Danny?
Back in high school, yeah.
Okay, that there counts. That counts. There we go.
Yeah.
Yep. Fitting in the barrel. You know, the rodeo clowns don't actually do that much anymore. They just sit in the barrel. It's the three, like, guys that are rounding up everybody. That is kind of lame. It is. The rodeo clown gets all the glory. And then he got another, yeah.
Deals all this time.
Living off of glories of years ago.
Yeah. Apparently at the Houston Rodeo, because I went to two of them this year, the rodeo clown, they're like, Hall of Flamer. And I'm like, how is there a rodeo Hall of Fame? Uh-oh, is somebody becoming a Wolves fan over there?
I think we may have gotten one more.
I think that's what was going on. Somebody bought a kit.
Do we need to go get him?
Yeah, go get him.
Go get him,
Danny.
Todd, you officially win the honor of always consistently being the best provider of no stupid questions, because listeners, it's always with the caveat that it has to be related in some way, shape or form to the Wolves. And as you've just heard, Todd can pick the most randomest of topics and make it related to Wolverhampton. So for that, kudos.
I think he gets a giveaway for that. What do you think?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Oh, a giveaway?
Yeah, we got giveaways.
Oh, shoot.
You want a hat?
You will get your pick.
Okay, I appreciate that, boys.
Yeah. Grab it. There you go. Yeah, that was provided to us by another Todd.
Wolverhampton Todd.
Wolverhampton Todd. I realized when I was talking to somebody today, I had to clarify Minnesota Todd and Wolverhampton Todd.
I wonder if he has a donut in his Twitter profile.
I guarantee not. And I can tell you, you also have the best beard here. Sorry, Wolfman.
Sorry, Wolfman,
yeah,
but yeah.
I think Todd's got the best beard.
Hey, once again, good seeing you guys.
Good to see you, man.
Talking with you.
Yep. Well, Danny's rounding up some people. Paul, what do you think about Gary O'Neill's comments?
I think, again, he's right to say it, and that's what I like about him. And it's a case of if these people aren't saying anything, then it's just going to go under the radar again. So it's a case that keep on doing what they're doing.
Yeah. You got no stupid question? And then we're going to get Trish, Andrew's wife, who's been doing something. All right, we got no stupid question.
All right, my stupid question is, if Wolves and VAR were a famous celebrity couple, who would it be, and why was the breakup so bad?
Oh, well, it'd have to be Johnny
Depp and Amber Heard.
What's that?
Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Oh, yes! Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
I thought about that, but I didn't know if we were Johnny Depp or Amber Heard.
Yeah.
We're Johnny Depp, I think.
Because we're paying for it in the end, so we're Amber Heard.
Yeah. No, I don't think we took
Amber Heard.
VAR definitely took a shit on our bed.
And blamed on the dog.
They blamed it on the dog, yep. Paul, we have another special guest. Andrew Smith from Atlanta is normally on the show. But I had to get his wife, Trish, on here because she was the MVP of FanFest with awesome signs. We had buttons.
Look at the back.
We have another one. She wore one, a VAR one that said Vendetta Aided Referee.
With Stuart Atwell in the photograph.
Where'd you get the idea for all the cool signs and everything?
It's there. I'm Patty Pom Pom. I'm kind of like that type of cheerleader, and I'm a big sports fanatic. Love Wolves, but I have a marketing background, and I was like, we're going to get some visibility at this
So, did you like soccer before you met Andrew?
Sadly, no. I married into football. I married into Wolves. It's a hard way to become a Wolves fan, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
I've been told that's a really hard way.
Yeah, my wife could probably agree with that.
But I love Wolves. I love the players who play for the badge. That's a big one, and that's this group now. I'm pleading they don't sell some of these key guys because American sports, you galvanize around a team.
Right.
And it's like, why are they selling the guys that you really want to market around to begin with, too?
That's right.
And they play for the badge,
yeah.
Which is nice, which the group last year, some of them.
I agree. Dumbo did not play for the badge.
Nunes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Good riddance, Nunes.
Yeah. Me and Andy Overton were talking about Nunes' dad looks fine, so how ugly is his mom?
You're going where I would go with it. I was never going to say that.
So you got Rebecca Lowe. You made a sign. Tell us about the sign for that.
Well, I'll tell you the background of how the sign even became made.
Okay.
Is I sent a letter or an email to Wolves saying we'd love to help out at FanFest to get more visibility. And I want to go there with signs so that they give Wolves more love. And I said, I'm thinking signs like says like, Rebecca, show Wolves some love, or Robert Plant loves Wolves, so the Robbie should too. And luckily, Wolves said, we'd love your help. And before I knew it, they actually sent me actual artwork to have printed off. But I didn't get it until about 24 hours before we were supposed to leave. So we got those signs, and Rebecca...
She was a good sport. She held it in between one of the games. And then the Robbies definitely saw the Robert Plant one.
Oh, yeah, they kept pointing to it on
stage.
Yeah,
one of the Robbies blew a kiss at Paul for holding it up. So we really appreciate it. Paul, it's been surreal to have a whole lot of Wolves signs in buttons. And then last night on the way to Skybar, Trish actually started the whole lot of Wolves chant.
Right.
So we really appreciate the support, man. And we love getting to meet you. We always make fun of Andrew. He's our resident curmudgeon. I notice he hasn't gotten on yet, probably because he's ready to cuss it up.
Yeah, he's still decompressing. Yeah. So, I tend to be the more positive of the group and tell him to calm
down.
What
is he like after a loss like that?
Oh, you know, for the games, they end by about noon. So the weekend is lost. They're absolutely lost by then. So, yeah, I'm always praying for a draw at least. And if not, if we win, oh, we are on cloud nine. Because the game has ended early enough that we're riding that high. And then every other team, the expectation is, okay, is every other American team going to follow suit? And that makes the weekend. So.
Nice. Yeah, it's always on the group chat. If there's a loss, you can guarantee Andrew at some point will send a text.
Exactly. He's very opinionated about things. But he's right a lot of times about his prognostications. I'm like, dang, he's right, even though it bugs me to say that.
He was right about Bruno Lodge. We give him credit for that.
Oh, and he pegged that early, too.
He did. Trish, thank you so much.
Thanks
We've enjoyed getting
me.
To have you. And
enjoy
thank
the signs.
You so much
Take them
the
back
signs.
And
yeah.
Put them in your office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Take care.
Thanks. Guys, I think that's about it. Danny, thanks for rounding up some people.
Yeah, second time I've had to fill in for producer Alex. But
yeah.
We miss him.
We do miss him. Alex wasn't able to make it. A work event popped up. But he's been here in spirit. We miss you, Alex. Hopefully next time we all get together, he can come. And Paul? What do you think? Are we going to try and have a Tex Fest next year?
I think we've got this theme going on pretty well, and it just came like a perfect storm with this location and being fairly central, relatively easy for people to get to. But just looking behind me at the Dallas Wolves contingent, there's options for there as well. So we'll see where the Fan Fest potentially take us. But I really like this concept of us going out on the road and doing things collectively and making a big deal with the support of the club and getting everyone on board. It really shows the strength of the pack, so long may it continue.
And we've really appreciated people that have come up to us and say, hey, we're a big fan of the podcast, I've heard it. Hopefully we got a couple of new subscribers during this trip, but man, thank you. If it wasn't for our fans, Paul, this wouldn't be a show. So
yeah, bunch of thank yous, the listeners who've come, who've participated here. Justin, Tennessee Wolves, has scheduled this venue. We're at Acme Feed and Seed. It's right on Broadway. It's like the actual absolute hub of the whole fan fest. So he's been MVP in terms of securing the venue and putting all of this together. So it's been phenomenal. And to everything that's gone into it, to the Oil and Gas Global Network, who've helped power this podcast with our equipment. It's been a really good effort of coming together. So.
And Danny, it's been good to see you again. I know I got to meet you in person in Chicago. Paul hadn't met you in person yet, so it's just been great for the three of us to get to hang out as well.
Now Alex is the mystery man.
Alex is the mystery man. We'll get him. We'll get him at some point, guys.
So with that, we will be back for our episode next week. It's going to be after the Nottingham Forest game. So we've continued to say it proudly. We'll continue to say it proudly here in Nashville at the Fan Fest. But there's going to be an addition to it. So it is, listeners, up the mighty Wolves, and let's all have a disco. Let's all have a disco. Na 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 na. Ooh. Na 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 na. Ooh.